නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ. Actually, we were discussing Magandhi Sutta, and Priyanka, when you hope you can record as well. We were discussing Magandhi Sutta, and now I think we have spent fair amount of time in that. And basically, we have come almost to the end. And as you can remember, Buddha is now preaching the wanderer Magandhya, giving various similes, and particularly some striking similes are there. Giving particularly about that how a leper is going through severe suffering, and in order to overcome that, he is cauterizing his wounds, and again using his fingers, he is scratching. And last time we discussed that how it can become more infected. And so that is the way Buddha give us or indicates us that these sensual pleasures, what we are enjoying, is very much like scratching the wounds. Even though it has a little satisfaction, it has more consequences, and ultimately the person become more gross and sort of bewildered. And basically, on the other hand, now he is asking from Magandhya another simile. So he is asking whether he has seen any king or any kind of such a minister who is completely calm, relaxed, and able to abide free from any thirst. That means there is no any craving, there is no any thirst, inner burning. And he is asking the question without abandoning the craving for sensual pleasures, is he able to live like that? So then Magandhya says no. So basically, it's a prerequisite to abandon all the sensual pleasures, craving for sensual pleasures, then only one would be able to calm down, relax, and abide with the mind inwardly happy or inwardly at peace. Because otherwise, always a yearning happens every time. I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. A kind of a yearning is there, inner urge is there every time, asking for various kinds of sensual pleasures. So that's a typical nature of the mind. If it is not satisfied, then it will ask something. If you are a little bored, then you may end up with going through a movie. You are watching a movie. If you feel that is boring, then you switch to another channel and maybe start watching maybe a cricket match. If you feel not satisfied, probably you may take your phone or any other handheld device and you may start a movie or YouTube or whatever it is. Or if not, probably you may call your friend, you may start writing an email, or you may go into a pub or even that something like that. So likewise, every time mind is asking, so unsatisfied desires are always there, always asking to fulfill them, and that need is every time available, again and again available. Even though we temporarily take certain amount of satisfaction, again another desire arises, again another desire arises. So that is the typical nature that we all are going through. Now, if one has to abide in a completely internally calm, peaceful manner, so that means this burning desire has to be abandoned. Without abandoning that, one can't live peacefully. So that is one thing. And then Buddha mentioned, so one has to abandon these sensual desires, the thirst, and when he is able to abide free from thirst with a mind inwardly at peace, So then we can say, so he is living in a more peaceful manner. So either they are in the future or in the present or in the past, who is able to live like that, that means internally peaceful, so definitely they have to abandon the sensual desires. So without doing that, one can't do it. And there are five stages, they are very much Buddha mentioned, that basically one has to understand the arising part, or the what we call as the how it is arising, and what is the fading away, and what are the certain amount of delight available in it, and again the consequences, and how to be escape from that, how to keep the mind free from that. So the all about those five different aspects, one has to have a certain amount of understanding. Then only one would be able to maintain one's mind completely free from any of these, free from these sensual cords. Now at that moment, actually Buddha uttered an exclamation, what we call as an udana, exclamation. Arogya paramalabha nibbanang paramang sukham. So the greatest of all gains is health. Nibbana is the greatest bliss. And again, he is telling about the Noble Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is the best of paths, for it leads safely to the deathless. Now this is a verse even uttered by the other Buddhas. Somehow, so that old utterance of the previous Buddhas have somehow come to retain or conserved among the people, and Mahagandhi immediately sort of exclaimed that he is telling, okay, it's marvelous, it is what you have expressed. I also have heard about this. This is coming from our tradition. Our masters, that means our previous teachers of the teachers. So they also tell the same thing, the same verse. Now at that moment, actually Buddha asked, so what is this so-called health? And what is this so-called Nibbana? Now Mahagandhi has to give their explanation. Now in this verse, there is something called Arogya, the health, and again called Nibbana. So what is your Nibbana? What is your health according to your teaching? And then at that moment, Mahagandhi is rubbing his limbs and hands and his body and telling that I am basically free from any kind of affliction. Now my body is quite healthy. So this is the Nibbana. This is the Arogya, this body health. So this is the Nibbana. So when the body is completely free from any ailment, okay, now I am abiding in Nibbana. So this is the answer that Mahagandhi is giving. So at that moment, actually Buddha gives another simile. So that simile is also very interesting, where Buddha mentioned a blind man is there. He is actually a born blind. And basically, that born blind man heard about that someone's saying that good indeed, such a white cloth, beautiful, spotless and clean. Now in that old tradition, in that era, so this white cloth seems to be an auspicious cloth. And there are instances, certain Brahmins, actually they are wearing entirely white. So we discuss, I think, what is the Brahmana Sutta, where one Brahmin, Janussoni, so he is going through the city wearing all the white clothes, and he even his horse cart is used by white horses, and the canopy also white, wheels are also white. Even his slippers are even white. So this white color has indicated certain amount of purity and certain amount of auspicious quality. And so someone is telling that these white clothes are pretty good. So you got someone is indicating that these white clothes are pretty good, and that is the auspicious one, so that is the more clean one. So now this born blind man also wants to have a white cloth. Now he is approaching maybe a salesman or someone, and basically he is cheating. So he is cheating a kind of a completely black goat. What's that called? Made up with goat wool, which is actually a black color one, but he is cheating, telling it is a white color one, and it is already kind of having many dust and other particles, so basically oil and all the other dirt is there. But anyway, this fellow somehow cheating this born blind man and basically selling that item to him. Now anyway, since born blind man doesn't have any kind of an idea, or he simply wears it and he thinks, okay, this is the spotless, this is the most clean, auspicious white cloth now he's wearing, and he's so happy about it, and he's telling the others, okay, my cloth is pretty beautiful, this is the white cloth and this is the most auspicious one. Now Buddha is asking a question. Now, is he having proper understanding and seeing by himself that he is uttering this term? So is simply believing that man, so that particular salesman. So is he simply believing that salesman's words, or has he really seen the cloth? Then Magandhi says, of course, he hasn't seen the cloth, but simply believing that old man, so this, that cheaty, that cunning fellow. So then Buddha mentioned, so too Magandhi, the wanderers of other sects are blind and visionless. They do not know the hell, they do not see Nibbana, yet they utter this stanza. Now Buddha say, so this verse is heard by the way, but they don't know the meaning. They don't know the real Nibbana, they don't know the meaning of the health, but they simply give a completely wrong meaning, because they simply believe they are teachers, but they also don't know, so they also have cheated. And basically, and then Magandhi is now inviting the Buddha to give an explanation about this verse. The greatest of all gains is health. Nibbana is the greatest bliss. The Eightfold Path is the best of paths, for it leads to safety to the deathless. Now, at that moment, basically Buddha give another simile. Now, he says, assume that there is again that blind man's simile. So, he's saying this blind man who have never seen the moon nor the stars, know the different colors, and by the way, he is taken to the physician, and he do various kinds of medicine and trying to cure him, but unfortunately that man's vision is not coming up, he's not getting cured. Even though the physician is doing his best, but the born blind man remains blind, he is not getting cured. Now Buddha says, now that would be a kind of a trouble even to the physician. It's a kind of a shame to him, and it's a kind of a disappointment for him, because the sick person, the blind person, is not getting cured. Now similarly, Buddha mentioned, now when I am teaching Dhamma, you might not be able to understand. So then it will be a sort of trouble for me. Simply a wearsome and troublesome for me. So basically Buddha is showing a little bit of reluctance to teach the Dhamma to Magandhi. So this is actually seems to be a way that Buddha arousing more urge in him. Some similar situation we can see in the Bahya Sutta, when Venerable Bahya approached the Buddha while he was in the Pindapatha, and he is pleading to preach the Dhamma, but Buddha denied it, telling that I am now in the alms round, this is not the right time to preach Dhamma. For the second time also Bahya asked, Buddha denied. For the third time also Bahya asked, Buddha denied. Then Bahya is telling, okay Bhante, I am not sure about my life. I don't know for how long I can live. I am not sure about your life as well. So please teach me Dhamma. And again he is pleading. At that moment only Buddha start preaching the Dhamma to Bahya. So a similar thing happened here. When Buddha now slowly convincing Magandhya, when he is asking to teach, now Buddha says, it would be a little troublesome for me. Even though I teach, if you can't understand it, then it would be simply a tiresome job for me. Then again, Magandhya now telling, again asking, I have confidence in Master Gotama. Master Gotama is capable of teaching me the Dhamma in such a way that I can come to know health and to see the Nibbana. Now he is now fairly aimed. So his idea is to realize Nibbana. His idea is to understand what is this health. So basically he is fairly having thorough urge now. Now at this moment Buddha giving another simile. So that is where born blind man who can't see anything, anyway he is being blinded by or cheated by that cloth, which is a black one and which is not a good one, which is not a beautiful one, spotless one, but it's a something not worthy one, but he's been cheated. But anyway, now he is taken to the physician by his clansmen and his friends. Now he's taken to the physician. And anyway, now this physician starts various kinds of methods to cure him. Now these are also mentioned to some extent, treat him. The physician would make medicine. Emetics and purgatives, ointments and count ointments and nasal treatments, all these different kinds of treatments are now going on. Interestingly, here slowly this man recovers and ultimately he gained full vision. So after he got full vision and now he see the dirty soiled garment. Now he sees this dirty soiled cloth immediately. So he immediately abandoned that. Now there is no need of keeping it because he saw it. It is not necessary for his friends to indicate it. Rather he himself has seen it. So as a result of that, what happens? He simply abandoned that. And then even Buddha mentioned here, then he might burn with indignation and enmity towards that man. And might think that he ought to be killed. You can see what a kind of a change has happened in his mind. Because he understood, all this time this fellow has cheated me. I have spent a lot of money. He has told me that this is a pure white cloth. This is an auspicious one. But what actually he has given is not such one. It's not a clean one. It's a dirty one. And it's a soiled garment. He has cheated me. So he is now fully hateful about him. And he even want to kill him. So basically, now Buddha mentioned, now this is the way when you see the Dhamma for yourself. Now, with your vision, together with the arising of your vision, So basically now one has to have one's own understanding. So Buddha may be showing the path, but one has to have their own understanding. They have to see for themselves. They have to see the things as they truly are for themselves. So that is very, very important. So basically at the beginning we may simply believe the Buddha and we are maintaining a certain amount of faith, trust. So that is the saddha. But the important thing in the Dhamma is as we are continuing the path, so basically what Buddha taught starts to be realized. So we ourselves have to slowly realize what he has taught. No more it would be a mere faith, rather it is an experience now. He is going through it now. So that is where the real seeing happens. Experiential knowledge happen, or what we call as the bhavaname jnana, experiential knowledge happen, and that is where all the doubts are now getting abandoned. Previously, everything is very much like a little shaky, because he haven't seen things as they truly are for himself, but he simply believed the Buddha, that's the trust. But as he continued the practice, so slowly, slowly, he's able to recognize things, able to understand things, able to see the validity of the Buddha's teaching, able to see the truth of the Buddha's teaching, because he himself is now experiencing things. Now Buddha is telling here, so when I teach the Dhamma, you might start understanding the health and the Nibbana, so what it is really. And then basically, now, as you have that vision, as you have that understanding, then you may understand, okay, I was simply desiring these five aggregates. I was basically grasping what we call the form aggregate. I was grasping the feeling aggregate. I was grasping the perceptions aggregate. I was grasping, clinging to the formations aggregate. I have been clinging just to the consciousness and calling them as me, myself, mine, thinking them as basically giving me the satisfaction. Now you are seeing through the proper eye, and there you may understand, okay, they are not giving me satisfaction. Instead, they are giving tremendous amount of suffering, and they are going to what we call the conditioned path. So this what we call the clinging, grasping, leads to some sort of bhava, the becoming, new existence. Again and again mind is reborn into a new existence. You are born to an imagined world. So that is what you imagine, that is what you are yearning for. That is what the mind is prepared, fabricated, now you are born to that. But unfortunately, this born world is not permanent. It is going through changes. It depends on so many other causes. So things are changing, falling apart. Now you are going through what we call the aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. It's a whole mass of suffering. Now basically, now, further and further, Magandhi is happy about Buddha's teaching. Now, he actually is more impatient to understand the Dhamma. Now, he is telling, I have confidence in Master Gautama, thus Master Gautama is capable of teaching me the Dhamma in such a way that I might rise up from this seat cured of my blindness. So basically he needs to the level that he want to attain or realize Nibbana now itself. Without attaining Nibbana, he doesn't want to get up. Very interesting. So you can see the change has happened in this person's mind. So in another way, we can understand how Buddha passed the message to him, how Buddha taught the message, how Buddha taught the teaching very cleverly to him. Now, there is a certain amount of urge in him now. He wants to thoroughly understand it, quickly understand it, as quickly as possible. So basically, now Buddha is giving some more advices. Then Magandhya associate with true men, and when you are associating true men, so that means the Satpurisam Bhajeta, so you have to associate the Kalyana Mittas, and when you are able to associate them, then you hear the true Dhamma. You may understand the teaching. And once you understand the teaching, you may start practicing according to that Dhamma. And once you are able to practice that Dhamma, you may see for yourself. You will know and see for yourself. So this is very important. You may see for yourself. Previously, the Dhamma is very much like external, but now Dhamma is internalized. Now you see for yourself. The validity of the Dhamma, the truthfulness of the Dhamma, its profundity of the Dhamma. So basically now one is understanding by oneself. And these are diseases, tumors and darts. But here these diseases, tumors and darts cease without remainder. Now here kind of a comparison is going on. Now all these five aggregates are like diseases, tumors, darts. But when one's mind is free from these aggregates, so basically not clinging these aggregates, not grasping these aggregates, so that Nibbanic state is free from diseases, tumors, darts. So all that tumors, darts, etc. cease without a remainder when one's mind is freed. So that freed state is something that Buddha is highlighting here. With the cessation of clinging, now one is able to avoid any kind of being, the bhava. That process starts basically to collapse. Now that Patisamuppada is no more finding its momentum. With the cessation of birth, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despair, everything ceases. So basically now the opposite cycle is working. So basically there is no birth now. There is no aging, no kind of any despair. So that indicates there is no any becoming. Bhava nirodho nibbana. So there is no becoming process. So the mind is satisfied right now. Not yearning for more and more future states. Rather right now one is experiencing nibbana. Right now one is experiencing inner peace, internally quenched. There is no thirst. If there is thirst, only one has to look for some water. If there is no thirst, there is no need of water. So similarly, now one has abandoned all the desires and there is no urge. There is no internal request coming on. Now he is able to inwardly satisfied, inwardly peaceful, calm, relax. Inwardly there is no thirst. And now at this moment actually Magandhya is quite happy and he is praising the Buddha. Master Gotama has made the Dhamma clear in many ways, as though he were turning upright what has been overthrown, revealing what was hidden, showing the way to one who was lost, holding up a lamp in the dark for those with eyesight to see the forms. Now basically this is a typical stock phrase used in the suttas. So once one has fairly satisfied, fairly convinced, so he is praising the Buddha. And now he is asking going forth. Now he is telling, okay, I am taking the refuge of the Master Gotama, the Dhamma and the Bhikkhus. Not only that, I would receive the going forth under Master Gotama. I would receive the full admission. Now he want to become a monk. And he want to have the high ordination. Now Buddha again make a little note here. And typically Buddha mentioned, if someone is interested, who is actually formally belong to a different sect. Now this Magandhya is coming from the wanderers ascetic. So there are different spiritual groups existed during the Buddha's time. So Buddha comes under the category of samanas. And now this, what we call Magandhya, is a wandering ascetic. And there are Nigantas who are called naked ascetics. And then separately there are Brahmins. So like as different groups were there, but anyway, whenever a different group person, a member of such group is coming to the Buddha's, say, Samana group, when they are asking admission, so typical procedure is they have to go through a probation for 4 months. And at the end of the 4 months, then if the monks are satisfied, if they are pleasing about this person's going through, how his behavior, that he is pleasing, he is satisfying, and then basically they will admit him to the order. If that blessing doesn't come, then he may not be able to become a monk. So that's why even today, many monasteries, including Nissarnavane, so we are maintaining certain amount of what we call a certain amount of discretion, we can say. So not immediately making one a monk, rather when asking him to stay for some time and helping the Sangha, helping the monastery and doing various duties, so that one can understand whether he is suitable for the monkhood. And on the other hand, that person also has an opportunity to understand what is monkhood. And again, whether he is suitable for the robes, whether he can undergo rules and regulations, the monastic code, whether he can live without much sensual satisfaction. Because at a monastery there are no much sensual codes available, any kind of gratification, so that would be very minimal. On such situation, is it possible for me to withstand this kind of a lifestyle? Sometimes people are quite serious at the beginning, but once they arrive and spend some time, say they find it difficult. So one has to recognize whether it is possible to continue. It's a lifetime undertaking. Now that is why here, now during the Buddha's time also, when one is coming from, particularly from a different sect, so basically Buddha is saying, now he has to go through a 4 months probation. But anyway, there's a still exception. I recognize individual differences in this matter. Now that is only a special skill in the Buddha. So he has something called Asava Anusaya Jnana, which is an exceptional vision or knowledge only the Buddhas have. So he can see the latent tendencies of another person's mind. So what are the latent tendencies available and how quickly those can be abandoned? And that is a very, very special skill only the Buddhas are having. So therefore Buddha mentioned, so I can see the differences. I can see the differences in the individuals. So it seems like he is giving this exception to this Magandhya. Seems that he hasn't gone through 4 months probation, so maybe quickly he became a monk. And anyway, Magandhya is quite happy. He's telling if others who are coming from a different sect has to go through, say, 4 months, I am ready to go through 4 years. Now that means that he is able to sacrifice anything right now. He's fully convinced. He's ready to even undergo 4 years of probation, and he's quite sure that he will be able to fulfill everything so that the monks would be happy. Ultimately, he is quite definite that he may be able to become a monk. Anyway, as I mentioned, so Buddha has taken him in, so he has become a monk, and also he was received the high ordination as well. Full admission was happened. And at that moment, so after that time, seems that he has spent some more time and learning and practicing Dhamma, he spent some time, and ultimately he became an Arahant. Now you can see basically a kind of a transition happened in one person. So in this whole story, at the beginning, Magandhya being a wandering ascetic, and he has studied his books, and he's denying the Buddha's teaching. He's basically kind of belittling the Buddha, or we can say the condemning the Buddha, because he is preaching restrainment of the faculties. But anyway, slowly Buddha was able to convince him. So why he needs it? Why one needs this sensual restraint, sense restraint? Why one needs to abandon sense desires? And what would be the practice one has to go through? So why he needs to associate the good friends, the Kalyana Mitras? Then only one would be able to understand the Dhamma. Then only one would be able to practice. The practice may lead to thoroughly understand the things as they truly are, and seeing things by themselves, not by mere conviction or mere belief. Rather, now things are realized by oneself. So that realization is the one most important, and that is where one is slowly abandoning all the desires, all the fetters, all the defilements, ultimately become completely free, completely pure. So the story ends here, and Magandhya has become an arahant, and this sutta particularly contains many, many similes, very interesting similes. Actually, several similes, at one sense, the very first one, Buddha mentioned that how he is comparing the Divya Sukha, the celestial happiness, with the mundane kind of human realm happiness. So the simile is that the Deva, who is living in the celestial realm, enjoying the celestial happiness, will not come back to the human realm asking for the human's happiness, because what he is experiencing is far more superior. So that is one simile. And then the next prominent simile is that the Kutti Purisa, the leper, the leper's simile. So that is also Buddha is presenting in two different ways, where that is being cured and basically being taken by two strong people back to that cauterizing pit. Now he is not happy about it. That is one way of presenting the simile. Another simile, the same simile, is changed to a little bit. That is where whether that person seeing another leper who is doing the same thing, who is scratching the scabs and using that cauterizing pit to cauterize his body. Now, does he has any kind of a desire for that thing? Does he need any medicine? Does he have any desire for that cauterizing pit? So that's another way Buddha is giving another simile. And basically another thing is that the same simile he is putting a little differently. He's telling because of this scratching, because of using the cauterizing, so the wounds become more and more severe. So that is another simile he is telling. So that is basically like someone is trying to satisfy one's senses. Ultimately, where all the tendencies, latent tendencies, all the desires become more and more strengthened. So that is another simile. And then the other simile is about a king or a minister, whether without abandoning these sensual desires, would he be able to live entirely peacefully, inwardly happy, inwardly calm? Is it possible? That's another simile. And then about that, born blind man. About the born blind man, there are three similes. So one simile is telling how that born blind man simply believes that cheating, cunning salesman is simply believing him and telling that I am wearing a clean white cloth, not knowing the reality. So that is one simile. And the second way he is putting is that if this blind man is taken to a physician and this physician is trying to cure him, but this person is not getting cured, then it will be a trouble for the physician. That's another way he is putting the simile. The third way he is putting the same simile a little differently is that he is now being cured, fully cured, properly cured. Then he is actually seeing what he is wearing, and so immediately he is abandoning that cloth because he has seen it. He has seen how dirty it is. It is not a white cloth. He has seen it. So you can see certain very strong similes and beautiful similes in a way Buddha has put into this Magandhya Sutta to convince Magandhya, and it is quite effective, and ultimately Magandhya was so happy about it, and he's asking the ordination, and ultimately he's getting it, and he became an Arahant. Okay, with that I like to conclude the Magandhya Sutta, and now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante.
So basically, if you have a question, please raise your hand. Then we can spend a few more minutes. Or otherwise, since this is the end of the sutta, probably we can end the session as well.
Renuka, you can unmute and talk.
Terwan Saranai Pranthi.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question. Can you re-explain that five aspects that one should experience to rid of this unhealthy world, you know, if I say so?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means you said that it's the birth and the death of that, and how you understand the pleasure of it, and how you understand the consequences and get rid of it. Is that the five one? Am I right? Or whether can you explain that little bit more, Bhante?
So the samudaya is the origin. So it actually has one meaning, telling that how things are arising, momentarily arising. And on the other hand, if we look a little bit earlier, so it has certain causes as well for the origination. So the arising is one aspect, and the origin, how this origin happens due to causes and condition. So that is the full understanding if we consider any kind of a phenomena. So this is the origin of the part. And then the disappearance, what we call the attangama. First one is the samudaya, now the attangama. So that means passing away, the disappearance. So basically, even these two, one has to see. Maybe one can understand them logically, rationally. One can understand, but to a certain extent, we have to see it. Now, say for example, if we consider the form aggregate. And form aggregate, if we consider our body, it depends on the ahara, the nutriments that we all know. And the true nature of the body, we have to understand. So that's why various methods are mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta. Understanding the four postures, understanding its various other sub-postures, daily activities, be mindful about them, and dissecting the body and understanding various body components, body parts, and understanding the arising and passing away of the elements. So that is a thorough understanding about this whole form aggregate. And the passing away also happens, the understanding of the passing away also happens in the same procedure, in the same practice. So the analysis, the understanding, the origin, passing away, so that basically coming through the practice, Satipatthana practice, we can say. And even the danger, one may understand to some extent once when one is going through it, what we call the adinava. So what are the adinava of this body? So when one understands how quickly it is arising, passing away, anicca, dukkha, anatta, the three universal characteristics, so they are the adinava. And again it is, the body is basically afflicted by various different diseases. That's also an adinava. So likewise, the consequences of having such a body. So that is also one needs to understand. In one sense, it is going through various afflictions, the illnesses, diseases. And on the other hand, instantaneously, it is continuously go through arising and passing away. It's completely impermanent, unsatisfactory, and not governable, non-self. So those are actually coming under the origin, the disappearance, and the danger. Actually, the gratification, fairly we little know, because we all have go through certain amount of gratification. We try to gratify. And certain amount of satisfaction is there. So that's why people are encouraged to go through all these endeavors to satisfy the senses. So when we see a beautiful movie, yes, there is a certain amount of satisfaction. So that's why people are doing it. That's why they are spending a lot of money for that. And when one is going listening to a beautiful music, yes, there is a certain amount of enjoyment. So that enjoyment is there. Buddha didn't deny that. Enjoyment is there. So that also one has some understanding. So that's the enjoyment part. And interesting enough, the last one is the most important. As a result of the practice, one may find an alternative, basically. So that is the nisharana. That is the important part. So what would be the nisarana? What would be the escape? How one can keep the mind completely detached without any sort of an association with these five sensual cords? And even the samatha practice helps sometimes. Say at the beginning, you may be able to abandon all the sensual desires and keep the mind uplifted in a more supramundane, not we can say can't unworldly kind of happiness. So by the way, it's a samatha happiness, where you have abandoned all the sensual desires and keeping the mind free from the hindrances. So that's a samadhi. But that is not a sure one. Then you need to go for a kind of a more thorough solution. So that is the vipassana practice. So through that, one is able to maintain the mind more systematic manner, more you can say stable manner, free from the defilements, free from inner burning, fairly internally quenched, experiencing certain amount of satisfaction. That is a super mundane kind of satisfaction, happiness. And that is where one starts understanding the nisarana, the escape. That's a true escape. So basically, seeing the danger, seeing the arising and passing away, and all that is a thorough, giving him thorough understanding. So as a result of that, there is a disenchantment arising in the mind. There is a dispassion arising in the mind, which is leading to abandonment, which is leading to letting go, relinquishment. And then only the mind becomes freed. So that freed state becomes one's refuge. It becomes one's alternative path. Now he has found a kind of a solution. Now it's a matter of consolidating that solution, living in that solution, make it abundant, make it available, quickly available, making it like one's own kind of a vehicle. One has to now maximize it. So that is the five aspects that Buddha mentioned. Samudaya is the origin, Atthangama is the disappearance, and then the Asada is the gratification, then Adinava is the danger, Nisarana is the escape.
Thank you, Vante.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, and I'm really happy that you explained it to me so well. Thank you very much,
okay,
Vante.
Okay. Teruvan Sannai.
Geshan, you can unmute and talk.
Thank you so much. Bhante, I think even today you mentioned about the discipline aspect of as well. You know, we as lame people, we try to our mind always try to find for something to do. Our mind is always craving from one place to another to occupy. Maybe if it is not the YouTube or work or normal household items that we need to perform, or maybe even to watch the news, say. And in this context, I'm sure if it is the discipline that we have to sort of, is it the discipline on our own as well, you know, how to sort of reduce these type of noises such as polluting our mind?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the path for us as well, you know, even though you know, we wanted to sort of know what's going on in the world and finding that as well, you know, what's happening in Sri Lanka or maybe what's happening in US, the political aspect as well. That definitely, I know, it creates some type of cloud in us as well, because your mind becomes after that, you know, it goes into this rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I have understood in your teachings as well, when sort of my best example that I can sort of think, when you see the sky, if there is no clouds, and to see the beautiful blue sky that there's clouds doesn't sort of take space on that. And that's how our mind we need to sort of bring in order to sort of get to that state of and for us to sort of get to that, I think what I'm understanding through our discipline, we need to sort of cut it down much as we can, so we don't get polluted, you know, our minds don't get polluted.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the sort of, am I in that right thinking in this context?
I think so. So, yeah. So basically that's why, even though, I mean, either we are lay people or either we are monks, so we still have to maintain certain amount of self-restraint. So monks, of course, have to go through it thoroughly because they are fully dedicated for the practice. And on the other hand, the lay people also, if they understand the value of it, if they understand the beauty of it or the importance of it, then they need to understand, okay, I have to be moderate at least. So this moderation, something that they can continue, how to practice. And on the other hand, as you said, now seen through all these, say, political situations, economic problems, wars, etc., etc., so we see how vulnerable this world is. So all this havoc, in a way, giving us certain amount of an urge, I need to abandon this. This is not where I belong to. So this is kind of a tragic state. This is fairly chaotic. So why should I stay here? So how I can return back to this kind of a world? So you are getting certain amount of urge by seeing all these kind of miserable things. So that's why actually we can see even Buddha is advising his son Rahula beautifully. He's telling, Ma lokam punaragami, don't come back to this world. So this young Rahula, at that time he is not an Arahant, Rahula is simply a young Samanera. And how Buddha strongly urged him. Now this is not a safe place. This is not a heaven. So this is a sensual world. People are killing each other for sense pleasures. They have no mercy. So basically, so having kind of our own sort of experience about this tragic situation, in a way giving us certain amount of an alternative view. So that's why dukkha, what's that called? Dukkha punissayam saddha. So dukkha, the suffering actually is a cause for arising saddha. You can read, you can refer the Upanishad Sutta, there Buddha mentioned. So when one is go through a certain amount of tragic situation, maybe a dangerous situation, see all this havoc, then they want a kind of an escape. Now they are looking for a alternative path, kind of a solution. So once they find a solution, then slowly the faith arising in that solution. Now they are getting more and more convinced about that particular solution. Now only they want to really practice it. Now they want to internalize it. Now they are practicing it. Then slowly they realize the truth, realize the, say, the alternative solution. Then now they are living in that solution. So therefore, all these worldly affairs indicating that how vulnerable they are, how dirty they are. And very beautiful verse is available in the Dhammapada. Let me share that verse. Which is in the, what do you call, Puppavagga. Dhammapada Puppavagga. Yatha Sankhara Dhanasming. Yatha Sankhara Dhanasming. Ujjitasming Mahapate. Padumang Tatta Jayetha Suchigandhang Manoramam. Evang Sankhara Bhutesu Andha Bhute Putujjane. Ati rochati panyaya samma sambuddha savako. Very, very beautiful. Buddha is putting it in a very beautiful manner. Yata sankhara dhanasming. So that means ujjitasmi mahapate. Now you know that in the rod, there are simply garbage. Simply people are abandoning that garbage. Simply they are putting away garbage. So garbage piles are there on the rod. Interestingly, padumang tatta jayetha. Suchi Gandhang Manorama. In this garbage, all this filthy water, filthy muddy area, sometimes even a lotus can blossom. The lotus may not happen on the ocean. A certain amount of filth is necessary, garbage is necessary. That is providing its fertilizer. There the Paduma is Jayeta. There the lotus is blossoming, it's blooming. Evang sankhara bhutesu andha bhute putujjane. So this whole world is blind, andha, putujjana. They are the vast majority are simply blind people. They are putujjanas. And evang sankhara bhutesu. Now they are living with the formations. All the sankharas are, you know, changing this way, that way. It's a completely bewildered kind of a situation. But in that situation, Atirothaji Panyaya Samma Sambuddha Savako, there is a follower of the Buddha who is shining with wisdom. You can see how Buddha very beautifully taking a simile of a lotus, how giving an indication to us. So we can't simply abandon this whole world. We have to see this. It is giving us certain kind of an indication how filthy it is, how useless it is, how we can't depend on it. Accordingly, one is finding one's oasis, one is finding one's kind of island where the floods are not capable of flooding. I heard that even New York and all these cities are flooding. How about finding an island where there is no flooding possible? So that's the island that Buddha is asking us to build. Atta Deepa Viharata Atta Sarana Ananya Sarana. Dhamma Deepa Viharata Dhamma Sarana Ananya Sarana. So Buddha is telling, okay, be an island unto yourself. There is no any other refuge. So you yourself is your refuge. Dhamma is your refuge. So how you can make Dhamma as your refuge? That is through the four Satipatthanas. So how beautifully he is, you know, directing us towards the practice, and ultimately through the practice we coming across a refuge, so that becomes a Nisarana. So that becomes the escape. So how one is capable of keeping one's mind unattached, not getting dirt or not getting polluted by these worldly affairs.
Thank you so much, Anupaya.
Yeah.
So my follow-up questions, as what you stated, the way that I'm understanding, even if there are certain aspects that can pollute or disturb you,
mm-hmm.
and for us to sort of somehow govern our way through this satipatthana in order to sort of build our mind, so we can sort of build that refuge within ourselves, and for us to sort of see that blue sky that I was talking about, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So I think I understand. I think it's a matter of that practice, so it's beautifully stated as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Sanai. Okay, Priyanka, if there are no more questions,
yes.
then we can wind up the session. So we have spent almost 1 hour. And today we were able to complete Magandhya Sutta. And we spent few minutes in discussing the Dhamma as well. So with that, all that, we were able to accumulate some merits. We'll share these merits with all the celestial beings and the passing away relatives and all the beings who are in need of merits. We wish these merits help us also to understand Buddha's teaching and to attain path fruition nibbana. So we'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavatajam hehi sambhatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavatajam hehi sambhatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha ca bummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.